The Volume.
Jenkins and Jones is brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any other fantasy sport, there's a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win. Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. As always, Jenkins and Jones is hosted by my good friends, Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Jethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John.
How are you doing, guys?
And I'm,
I will never feel comfortable trying to sound cool when I get introduced. So y'all can get that nerdy shit.
We'll never, ever be the... You know who it is.
Yeah, you know what's going on.
It's your boy.
You know what it is. It's your boy. Nah. It's never your boy. You know what I mean? You never know what time it is. Regular as fuck.
I'm your boy, Mike Gardabasio.
No.
Gardy B.
Say it, Mike. No. Say it.
At Gardabasio on Twitter.
Mikael.
I'm not saying Mikael. You can say that weird shit if you want to. It is Thursday, February 18th, I believe, if I have my head screwed on correctly. And we're here to talk about basketball and tennis and some other shit. All-star lineup, all-star starters are going to be announced tonight, Thursday night. So let's start there. Who do you guys – is Rudy Gobert going to be an all-star starter or what? Who do we think the starters are?
Do you want me to give you my list? I can break it down for you.
Yeah, break it down for me. I want to see. I want to see who get. I want to see who guesses it correctly.
This is my list. So I got Embiid, Durant, Antetokounmpo. Jesus Christ, bro. Antetokounmpo. Boom.
Antetokounmpo. We can say
Antetokounmpo, right? Antetokounmpo.
You got the
Giannis. Antetokounmpo. Boom. We got it.
Yeah.
Bradley Beal. And I got Kyrie. People are saying whether or not Kyrie or not, but I want to see Kyrie in that spot. You feel me?
I don't think Kyrie will be a starter.
What do you think? Harden's getting it?
Tyler?
So we're just saying East right now?
Huh? Yeah. We go East, okay, West, okay, West.
Okay. Who's the better point guard in the East than Kyrie right now, though?
They're saying Harden. Some people are saying Harden.
Yeah, Harden did technically go to like point guard, and Kyrie said himself, I told him, like Kyrie said, yo, when Harden came here, I said, you're the point guard now. And Harden has absolutely been the
But it's not PG guard. Guard, it's guard.
Yeah.
It's forward, guard.
Okay, so Tyler, who do you have as your starters?
I've got the big three out of Brooklyn, of course. I've got, Kyrie, Harden.
All three of them starting?
Yeah, KD. And then I have got Giannis and Embiid.
You don't think Bradley Beal, who is averaging 34 a game, deserves to start?
Do you think Bradley Beal is a better guard than Harden?
I think Bradley Beal is having a better season than Harden, yes.
I have Tyler's, but I have Bradley Beal over Kyrie.
Harden has been averaging like 14 dimes a game since he's been.
No, yeah, I hear you. And this may be the first time that three players are 50, 40, 90. You know what I mean? But we can't say Bradley Beal's one of the top five, top
Brad,
10 players.
Brad's a bad motherfucker, 35 points per game. I just don't know if I will ever take Beal over Harden in any circumstance, though.
I'm not saying career. I'm saying now, today.
I think now, too. I think, Beal is lighting it up. But I think that, of course, we know that Harden is one of the greatest scorers ever. I think Harden might be the best point producer we've ever seen when you factor in points per game and assists. Like, we don't see motherfuckers getting 38 points per game and 16 dimes a game like Harden does, right? Like, I don't think anyone puts more points on the board as an individual player than Harden ever.
I would say this isn't even against Harden and Beal. I think this is against Harden and Kyrie. I think that's the only two people that you could kind of interchangeable in this situation. I think Beal is definitely a starter. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it's who's who. I think what's crazy, Kyrie's having the best Kyrie season I've seen in a long time, if not ever. You know, I mean, he's close to 50, 40, 90, if not so. He's averaging 28 a game. You know what I mean? Like, he's playing incredible. But I think it's Harden's offense. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I think that everything runs through Harden in that offense. You know what I'm saying? I think he's the most important. I don't think he's the best player on the team. I think KD's the best player, but I think Harden's the most important player in that offense. You know what I'm saying? Okay, you know, so glued all of it.
Exactly. How Harden and Kyrie mesh is absolutely the most important factor on the success of this team.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes.
So
on the success of this all-star team. Jaylen Brown also obviously in the mix, but I'll be
for sure. No doubt. Yeah. I mean, I think those three, Harden, Kyrie, Jaylen Brown, I think Kyrie will be a starter. I think Kyrie should be a starter. That's what I'm saying. This is my opinion. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, but no, no.
I think it's between Harden and Jaylen Brown, to be honest.
Which is bullshitting. There's Kyrie no money on the table. You know what I mean? Right, no one right, has a gun right. to, like.
Right.
Okay, Western Conference.
Let me see. I actually wrote it down. I did a little bit of prep for this podcast. Some prep, right?
Prepping.
The first time ever. All right. We got LeBron, obviously.
Yes.
We got Jokic, who... Adam Gracia, our producer, said that he was a boring player. Are you crazy? He's fun as hell.
Jokic fun as fuck.
Yeah. I had to call him out by name. Find him on Twitter and attack him the way you attacked us. All right. So I got Kawhi. Kawhi's having a great season. We can't ignore that. All right. Steph is absolutely fucking insane, bro. Like, I think Steph is shooting 51%. From three, 58%. This last 2 months, 58% from two for field goal period, and then like 96% from the free throw line. Steph is fucking phenomenal. Like, he's having a historical 2 months.
Yeah.
And then I got Luka, and I mean that could be interchangeable, but I got Luka. That's my five.
Tyler, what do you think?
Yeah, I've got Steph, Luka, Bron, Shit, who's my four?
You ain't. I don't think AD's in the
top. Jokic.
Yeah. AD was my guy until he went out.
Yeah.
Jokic's definitely my five.
I think. Yeah, I mean, I think he's got that spot.
I think he's got that. I don't think AD's a starter this year. I just don't.
I just don't think.
I don't think he's had that season.
He
just hasn't exactly that. So yeah. So that's about where I'm at. I got Steph. Luka, Bron, and then Jokic at the five. And
you got
for
Kawhi.
The four, I'll hear out like
you got whatever. Kawhi, right?
Yeah. Let's go Kawhi at that other
four. I'm with you guys on four spots, but I don't think I've got Dame over Luka.
I get it. Bro, I have a hard rule. Never root against Dame. You know what I mean? I just don't like even when I'm rooting for the Lakers.
Right.
In the opening round of the playoffs, I wasn't rooting against Dame. I was rooting for the Lakers. I love Dame.
Yeah.
You guys know Russ is my guy. You guys know Russ is my guy.
Yeah.
And that was the last game in my life. Dame Lillard waved goodbye to me ever rooting against him again.
It's just so like
when he put the Oklahoma City Thunder in a casket as a franchise.
Dame shifted the entire landscape of the NBA and with that shot.
What? Like, Explain that.
Because that was the shot that made PG think, yo, this might not be the move. You know what I mean? Like, I might need to ride with Kawhi here. And, you know, and that got fucking, you know, Russ out of there. It got fucking Chris Paul from Houston to OKC and who's now in Phoenix. So that shot was one of the most influential shots in forming and shaping the landscape of the NBA today as we know it.
I mean, what do you do when you play smart D and somebody drops a 40-foot series ender and game ender and
you do
fucking grill
you do exactly right what PG right. You run go, to you help. Go you know what
you run
I don't
want to
be
help.
The I don't want
to
be the dude who takes the shot with 2 seconds left, and you know what, I'm a great defender, but I don't want to be the dude guarding the shot with 2 seconds left either. I'm gonna go play with Kawhi.
Exactly
right, because dude, if people are shooting 40 footers to end series,
OKC OKC tried to blow that motherfucker up, and then they got like, you know, they felt was watched Chris Paul up, and Chris Paul was like, nah, I'm really good and I'm a ceiling raiser, and we're gonna go seven games against the fucking Houston Rockets in the first round. But yeah.
So just to be clear, in the month of February, you guys are picking Luka over the man that we're currently discussing.
But this is what I'm saying. Luka's numbers have been insane. Yeah. But the thing about that, since McCollum went out, Dame's numbers have gone up crazy, right? And also
18 and 10 better. 18 and 10 without their second and third best players.
Dame is better in the biggest moments, and Luka's kind of struggled, you know, when it came to, like, you know, bigger moments. So at least this year. So I get it. I'm just looking at the numbers alone, bro. Luka's numbers are fucking insane. Have you looked at him? He's playing crazy. You know what I mean? So it's hard to not vote for Luka, but if you're gonna, we're gonna debate him and Dame, I have no, there's no, you will not be here to, you know.
Yeah, hey, for hey, sure.
Yeah,
you won't you're hear that. You're the handshake emoji on it.
Right. Okay. That works too. You feel me?
I get you. Okay.
Yeah, but yeah.
Go ahead, Tyler.
I was gonna say, but you know, fuck it. I'll go ahead and change my pick from Luka to Dame because I don't want Dame dropping a diss track on me. Because that motherfucker be rapping, bro. Please
he be rapping too, cuz.
Rapping. Please, Dame.
He be rapping too, cuz. I fuck with you,
Dame. Don't put me in the body.
And Dame petty, which I love that too. Dame is petty, bro. You well, like
that's yes. And that's a problem for us because, you know, we have a connection with some of Dame's people, and so yes. you just might end up on a diss track pick.
Hey, Dame, look, it's all love, bro. You're one of my favorite players. You know what I mean? So, hey, if you're a starter, you know, hey, you got my vote. If you aren't, you know, Luka got my vote too. You feel me?
Just start six guys. It's the West, after all. I mean, you know, it's we have special privileges.
You saw that shit. That shit was wild as fuck.
Gobert's not in our starting lineup. How do we feel about that? Moving on. No more new book conversations.
I think the whole
no more brown ass conversations.
Brown ass conversations here at Tickets and Jones.
Taupe ass conversations. Earth tone ass conversations.
Switching from our least favorite kind of conversation to our favorite kind of conversation, Draymond Green with like one of the all time press conference rants ever for me a couple of days ago, talking about the difference between the standard for teams when it comes to professionalism and players when it comes to professionalism around trades and shit. John tweeted, he quoted and he just said, I just like this man as a human being.
this is why I like him. This is why I like him. I don't always, I agree with Draymond a lot. I think he's extremely smart basketball wise. And I like how he moves. I agree with the man a lot, but I just feel like, I just respect him. You know what I'm saying? Like he stands 10 toes. I like how he advocates. He says the things everybody else is afraid to say. And I think if in this situation, if you're rooting for corporations to play by different rules,
because that's what they are.
The Jazz versus Clippers play tonight. It might as well be Wachovia versus fucking Edward Jones. Okay. That's a fact. All right. You're rooting for billionaires to be able to do more billionaire shit than people to be in the land of the free to be able to move how they want to move. Bro, I'm not fucking with you. And you might have to question, you know, some serious things about yourself. I mean, I just like the fact that he's saying, yo, we should all play by the same rules. The game is dirty. You know what I'm saying? The system is fucked up. Maybe what the right way of doing things was never right. Maybe the right way is wrong. And all he's saying is like, let's just all play by the same rules. And I fuck with that. And if anybody has a problem with that, you might have to question yourself.
You know, it's as simple as this. I've said this so many times that the reason, like I was a lifelong Knicks fan before I said fuck this shit, but I was a Bron fan from like 2007, from that 25 straight from Detroit. Like, you know, people, I said the whole that's when I decided to stand shit, and that's a meme. That is legit when I started to stand for Bron, that 25 straight from versus Detroit in 07. And so I've been a Bron fan for fucking, you know, so many years, and I've just abandoned the Knicks and I've just been a Bron guy since then. And my whole thing is that even no matter how much you want to separate yourself from this, if you're a fan of a team, you are supporting the ownership of that team. Mm-hmm. Even if you criticize it, even if you don't like it, because this is the same shit as we all know, Amazon is inhumane. You know, they have terrible business practices, but we still fuck with that Amazon Prime, right? There's no way you can say that you support some shit and don't fuck with the ownership. You know what I'm saying? Because the ownership is directly, the ownership directly benefits from your support.
They get $100 from me every year. Yep.
100%. Right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah. Yeah, regardless of how you try to put that
convenience, you know what I mean? That
exactly. Is. Regardless of how you try to distance yourself from the ownership, regardless of how shitty or how inept it might be, if you support that team, you support the ownership because they are the ones who benefit from your support in the long run at the end sum. But it just kind of feels like with with this shit right here, that it's like, goddamn, I don't even know how to verbalize this shit.
Bro, black people empowering themselves and people don't like it.
Yeah, that's basically
this is a predominantly black league. You know what I mean? They're empowering themselves against the ownership that's predominantly white, and people are like, that's not the right way to do it. It's bullshit. The right way to do it is whatever way it takes you to get what you want. That's the fucking right way. If Harden dogged it through Houston to get to where he's at now, he did the fucking right thing. Fuck what the owners feel, because if they would have sucked Harden dry if they could, okay? When they can't use it anymore, they kick you to the curb. They move these players around with no regard. You saw what they did with Drummond, set his ass down as soon as they wanted to trade his ass, right? Well, a player not wanting to play anymore himself and good enough to push a trade, he should take advantage of that shit. I just knocked my water off the damn desk because I'm so amped about this shit. But I just don't see how, you know, anybody can root against somebody using their own power to control themselves and their destiny. You know what I mean?
Let me just say, you cannot find a sports franchise in the world, but certainly not in America, that has not pulled a business move on a player, right?
It's a business. It's always a business
until a player
treats himself like a businessman. Right.
And the player is also a business.
A business. His biggest asset is himself. And when he protects, and when he you know, flexes his power or protects his asset in some way, it's always a problem. You know, no, that's not the problem, bro. You're the problem. You know what I mean? Or the system's the problem. The system, it's a dirty game. But everybody playing by the same rules, it's not allowed? That's crazy. I just don't get it, bro. I'm never going to root, like I said, I'll never root against corporations when it comes to humans. You know right, what I mean? I'm sure. I'm never rooting for billionaires. The fuck? the fact that somebody's a billionaire is inhumane.
Tyler, what were you going to say?
I was going to say that we see the difference in how motherfuckers react when there is a team that sits their player to not risk injury and to keep their trade value high versus a player saying, yo, I don't want to play anymore until y'all get me out of here. You know what I mean?
Same for the same reason.
Right. Exactly. Like, we just saw the whole backlash with Duke's Jalen Johnson was like, bro, we're not winning shit this year. Sit me the fuck out.
We might
out.
Even I'll make the tourney this year. We might not even right. make the fucking we, tourney right, this
we,
year.
Right? We might be some NIT motherfuckers. I've got enough film on me that NBA scouts know who I am. Why do I need to keep playing?
And I gave you me for free for long enough.
For free.
Now I'm preserving for myself for when I can get paid. He is exactly. his greatest asset. And he's protecting exactly. himself. We call anybody else, that's a businessman. A player does it, and he's doing the wrong way. He's a quitter. Fuck that. That's not the way this
well,
shit works.
Everything about that.
The college basketball media went further than calling him a quitter. I think Jay Billis called him a coward, didn't he?
It's bullshit, bro. Like that. Bro. That is so ridiculous. The kid, and also, the kid is what, 18, 19? And your old ass is calling him a coward because he knows his worth and values himself? That's cowardly in itself. In itself, that's a cowardly thing to do. You know what I'm saying?
That's ridiculous. I feel like there's no word that will make me tap out quicker on your sports take than hearing the word coward. Because that
or
shit
classless.
Is rooted in fucking...
Or classless.
Yeah, yeah. Coward in class. That shit is rooted in like 1950s ideations of masculinity and shit. Like, bro, it's fucking 2021. Motherfuckers are protecting themselves and their earning potential. I don't give a fuck about who you think is a coward in class.
And They talk about scholarships a lot. Every player every year is vying for their scholarship. If they don't play good that year, the team could take the scholarship. It's happened before. Well, players are not guaranteed scholarships. You know what I'm saying? So can you not evaluate this situation and be like, yo, this ain't working for me. Y'all didn't do what y'all were supposed to do recruiting. You know what I mean? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to value myself, seeing it's not working for me, and it's pointless for me to continue to play. I'm going to sit down and set myself up for the future. But that is a great business decision. What are you talking about?
Because this is a dude who made a business decision. I'm not sitting out of a Final Four game. I'm sitting out of the NIT.
Boom. Boom. The fucking not in tournament tournament.
And until they start paying the players above the table, until players get paid above the table, you're talking to me about my Saturday volunteer job. You know what I mean?
Right.
You're talking
right,
about picking right. up trash at the park.
Right.
Bro.
Right. Right. It doesn't.
You can't call a man a coward for saying, I'm going to wait and make millions of dollars to do this.
Vince Goodwill right. said this. He said it perfectly. You can't quit a job you're not getting paid for. It's not a job. What are you quitting? What are you quitting? What are you quitting? What?
You're just not showing up anymore.
You're doing that. Right, it's not right. quitting. You're not volunteering yeah, anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You're just not gonna be there. You're just not gonna right. be on the schedule anymore. Right. That's not right. quitting, bro.
I'm going where I can get paid and I'm making sure I get paid the best I can. What the fuck? Cowardly? That's insane to me.
But he didn't say. But he doesn't come out and say that. No one comes out and says, as Draymond pointed out, an NBA team who's decided they're going to trade the Pistons are going to trade Blake Griffin. We're gonna have you sit because if you blow your knee out in the next game, we're not going to have any trade value for you. It's a smart business decision on the Pistons' part. It's a smart business decision on Blake Griffin's part because his body is his product. That is what he has. As you said, it's his greatest asset. That's what he has to try and get himself into the professional situation he wants. Pro sports, first of all, to get back to John's point just briefly, the whole thing is so screwed up that you will not find any other profession in the world.
Any other industry, period.
Where the most talented young people are given employment rights by the worst employers. If you're the worst team in football, you get to pick Trevor Lawrence, right?
Right. Right.
Imagine if we had a battle of the bands and you say, okay, you're the best singer in America at 19 years old. You are going to sign with the worst record company and they have the exclusive rights to your career
for a certain amount exactly. of years.
Like,
even though they're trash at what they do, you have to deal with that. You know what I mean? It would be like,
imagine if you're the best fucking 22-year-old coder in the fucking world and you can't go to Apple or Microsoft. You got to go to Candy Crush. Like, that's exactly what the fucking NBA draft is.
You
got to
go work
is,
for
though.
Bing.
Yeah. You got to work for Bing. Right? Yes. That's exactly what the NBA draft is when you examine it. Yes.
It's crazy. And I think, cowardly? Like, it's cowardly. What's cowardly about it? You know, Jay, you're making me, this is why I hate that I'm a Duke fan. Shit just like this. I despise it.
That's your people, though, dog.
That's motherfucker, that ain't my people. That's
your get area. Your people in Jay.
Hey, look.
That's your people in line,
hey,
Joe.
Look. Hey, we all got family members we don't fuck with. Do you feel me? You know what I mean? We connected, but we ain't. You know what I mean? We choose our people, and I ain't chose that man there. You feel me? He must have ran out of Jeezy lyrics to tweet. You know, back to calling people cowards for empowering themselves. Insanity. Get out of here.
Bro, that motherfucker was Googling and copying and pasting those Jeezy lyrics anyway.
Yeah, there was when he dropped the nigga.
Then we dropped the end. Yeah, he dropped the nigga. And we was like, bro, what the fuck? Like, oh, I'm sorry. A copy and paste mistake. Like, right. We know you ain't listening to Jeezy.
Capping ass, bro. You know what I'm saying? You a fraud.
I'm a Jeezy stan. And he was calling
but
shit.
But this is what bothers me, too. This is what bothers me, too. The media takes, when we start questioning people's character for these decisions, right? That's bothersome. You know what I mean? Like, if they go out and break the law, that's one thing. But to question somebody's character for him, you know, making solid business decisions, you know, you're really calling him cowardly. What type of shit?
What bothers me about it, and you guys know, you know, in Long Beach, I've gotten to cover a ton of, you know, all-star caliber athletes in multiple sports when they were in high school and college, right? Everything about these decisions is informed by how much money a kid's family has. Every single decision. There was one year we covered two kids that were both drafted in the first two rounds of Major League Baseball. One kid came from a poor family. One kid came from a wealthy family. The kid from the wealthy family got a higher signing bonus because the Major League Baseball team knew that his family
would need that. He would need
would
that
be happy to send him to college.
Right.
They'd
be
happy to send him to college for 3 years rather than go pro. So he got a higher signing bonus. His family took that signing bonus and invested it in rental real estate for him. He's got money for the rest of his life. The kid who came from the poorer family, he got like six figures less on the signing bonus because they knew this motherfucker does not want to go to USC for 3 years. He's trying to get paid right now because his family needs the money. So he got less money, right? That's day one as a professional athlete. And if you want to talk about basketball, football, all that magnifies all the way out. And as you said, it's always the athlete that's expected to be the one who is satisfied.
To take the high road, to do it the right way. Because the right way ain't never worked. It ain't never been the right way.
An average of 3 to 5 years, depending on the sport.
If the right way makes billionaires more billionaire-y, fuck that way. You know what I'm saying? Point blank. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
are sharks.
And fuck that coward shit. Like, there's a big difference between, like, saying, what the fuck do I have to gain from playing UNC Wilmington and not being afraid and being afraid to hop off the fucking boat when they storm the beaches of Normandy. You know what I'm saying? Like, fuck that coward shit, bro. This is basketball. This is a sport.
Sport. And more importantly, it's a business. More importantly, it's a business. And it's not cowardly to protect your greatest asset, which is you. Yes. Exactly. Nothing cowardly about that. That's actually smart and intelligent.
Yeah.
To be deranged enough to say that's cowardly, that's questionable.
It's Kenny Smith.
Fuck that word and fuck that phrase. Like I said, whenever I hear that shit, I just tap out, bro.
Right. We ain't speaking the same language. We don't have the same moral foundation. You feel me?
Kenny the Jet Smith, probably my favorite quote from a sports media personality ever. He's, I don't question motivation and character. I will say, he's like, people get mad at Shaq. They get mad at Chuck. They never get mad at me because I don't ever say James Harden doesn't play defense because he's soft.
Yeah.
I'm going to put the film up and say he's not playing defense right here.
Right. Mm-hmm. Talk about the game.
Right.
Talk about the way they play.
And that's all you need to do. Now,
it's the same thing with Kyrie. Like, you know what I'm saying? We get into these things about Kyrie's this, Kyrie's that. You know, like, no. Kyrie's human. And he's more like you than us, than most other players. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, it's just like, we have these.
What? Okay, John just said.
Standards is ridiculous.
John just said, talk about the game.
Listen,
go ahead, bro. Go ahead.
I was going to say, Kyrie is what, 29? And we all know he's smoking a tremendous amount of weed. And he's got like the internet. Listen, 29 me smoked a tremendous amount of weed and I did not have the internet that Kyrie has. If I was 29 smoking the weed with 2021 internet, I would probably be just like Kyrie too. I ain't even gonna lie to y'all, bro. On some real shit.
Kyrie's smoking so much weed, he came to the game with a walking stick the other day, bro.
Yes.
And good for Kyrie.
And good for him because, bro, he had a whole Lakota naming ceremony where he was like named Little Mountain and all that. So I think that's part of that. But yeah, good for Kyrie, man.
I just thought
your
it was
life. You've earned the right to do that.
Exactly. Find yourself whenever you can, bro.
Right, bro. This life hard, dog.
I'm happy
any
for
level.
You, however, and whenever you get there.
Right.
Exactly.
John said, just talk about the game. Tyler sent us a clip that was it was one of my favorite interview clips I've seen. It was the Hawks coach, Lloyd Pierce, was asked, how are you going to get into them defensively? And he just was like, I don't know what kind of a mood he was in that day. But why don't you walk us through it, Tyler?
bro, first off, like post-production or whatever, we need to have that audio here because – nothing I'm saying is gonna resonate if they don't hear how fucking thorough he was and all that shit. But yeah, he killed that shit. And you know what? I wasn't impressed by his knowledge because of course he's an NBA coach. He should have this type of knowledge, right? I was impressed by how that was kind of a glimpse into how we probably do not get the best answers from athletes and coaches because motherfuckers don't know the questions to ask. And even then, that wasn't a good question that was asked. That was, you know, this coach being fed up with the bullshit questions he was getting. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Well, so exactly. Let me point out there, I also felt like the reporter was kind of fed up with the bullshit answers he was getting. Right? You know, the coach said, he said, we have to make them feel us. And so the reporter goes, well, what do you mean by that?
Define that, right.
Tell me, like, explain that to me, right?
But he kind of was like, you don't get the definition. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, here's the definition. And yeah, I mean, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I thought it was great.
I think the internet has made it an interesting time for sports coverage because you have a growing segment of people that want to pretend to be GMs and are talking about trade exceptions and the minutiae. Like, you see Nate Jones fielding questions on Twitter of people wanting to know the letter of every detail in these contracts. And then you also have people like, you know, maybe older people in our family or something are just like, I don't want to hear all that shit on the broadcast. You know what I mean? I just want to watch the game. And I don't know, as people get further apart in terms of what they're looking for, like, I think it's an interesting challenge for not just for the media, but for coaches, right? Lloyd Pierce, there's probably a ton of Hawks fans who really want you to break that shit down for them. You know what I mean?
And while we're here, shout out to Nate Jones because he's so fucking smart and he makes smart shit understandable, which is like, that's when you're truly smart, when you can make complicated shit understandable. So shouts to Nate there. But yes, I am totally with you on that. And that answer from Lloyd Pierce felt like, you know, it was an answer where he was just, you know, he was like, yo, bro, I'm just tired of answering these bullshit questions. So I'm just going to fucking speak in a monotone about all the shit we practice on every day without even fucking looking at my notepad, just running off shit off the top of my head. Like, mm-hmm. You know? So yeah, that was an interesting answer just for that, because I felt like that was Lloyd Pierce showing us the tip of the iceberg that we get a lot of the times in these interviews.
I feel like basketball, more than any other sport, there's more happening underneath the surface where, you know, if you really go sit in a film breakdown with an NBA or an NCAA coach, you are going to watch a sport that you have not
seen before.
Yeah, unless you played at a high level or you've been lucky enough to sit in on some of those sessions. Yeah, it's just completely, I mean, to the extent, and I've heard,
I think that's most sports though, honestly.
Yeah, but football and baseball, you know, I feel like most diehard baseball fans played baseball, right? Mm-hmm. I just think basketball, I think Draymond's made this point that he's like, a lot of the times you'll be listening to the broadcast and they'll be blaming the wrong person for missing a defensive assignment, you mm-hmm. know? And he's like, and these are guys who were championship coaches or championship mm-hmm. players, but it's mm-hmm. just, they don't know what we're running.
Oh, they rotations. Don't know what
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. I'm very interested in all that, but I think we're going to talk a little tennis,
but wait,
tennis talk.
I think when you get to a certain level as far as a pro, the game's totally different. So maybe I played in high school, maybe I played in college, you know what I mean? But the way you approach the game as a pro is just so different. We talked about this. Like, when I hear people in golf talking about, I've only been playing golf 6 months, whatever, but when I hear people talking about golf, like, that are pros, they sound totally different from my homies out here that played in college that I played with. You know what I'm saying? Like,
they played a different sport.
They
right.
play, it sounds like a different, totally different sport. You know what I mean? So I think that's for most pro sports, you know, as far as like when you get into those behind the scenes conversations, we don't have those conversations normally and probably never have.
Most people would probably be bored to fucking death by them, to be completely
right. you gotta be a geek to a group. Like LeBron James, when it comes to basketball, he's very talented, but he's also a geek in a certain way. You know what I mean?
He's a huge geek. And how much would you pay for a 1 hour conversation of just to watch it on TV, a Bron explaining what happened in a finals game?
I'm a nerd. So I would pay.
No, you'd like, pay a lot.
LeBron, I'd probably pay a month's worth. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know, I would pay at least rent's worth, LA rent. I'm not playing. I'm dead ass serious right now.
Bro, LeBron has said that he has you know, put matchups on 2K and simulated shit and watch that shit play out to see how shit will work out. Like, that motherfucker is a nerd on a whole different fucking level, bro.
That's a nerd. That's a nerd.
I see, when I saw LeBron play, this is when I knew he was on a different level. This, I saw LeBron throw a cross-court pass to Kevin Love. He was playing the Hawks. And he threw it before the defense shifted. Like, at a, the defense shifted, like, right as the ball passed the player. Right, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, what the fuck?
Bro,
he might know their defense assignments or how they run their defense as good as the player that's on the team knows it. Or better. Yeah.
Bro, one of my favorite Bron stories is a J.R. Smith story where he said that he would learn where all of his teammates like to start their shooting motion from. Like J.R. said, he liked to start shooting motion from the waist, and he said Bron always hit him at the waist. And he said, you know, people like RJ would like to start their shooting motion from the chest, and Bron always hit him at the chest. Like, little shit like that shows you how much of a basketball nerd this motherfucker is, man.
I mean, but that's what trips me out about certain shooters, like Klay Thompson. Wherever Klay catches it, he's letting that ball. He has no glitch in his shot. He doesn't catch it and put it in a particular way and then shoot it. He catches it, puts it right in his pocket and lets that motherfucker go. You know what I mean? Like, so little things like that, I'd be like, you know, he put it right in the pocket. Look at, you know, I'm like, you know what I mean? It's just so delicious to me. When I see a player that catches a ball, puts it right in the pocket and lets it go, there's no glitch. There's no gathering himself. I mean, I watched Clay's, what was it, 36? Was it 36 and a quarter?
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
I had goosebumps. Like, it was like 3 weeks ago. I had goosebumps watching, just seeing him catch and let that motherfucker fly. You know what I mean? But yeah, anyway, move on.
37 in one quarter off of like what? Six dribbles? Six and dribbles? Was, six, like,
and he, I think he had like 61, yeah. 62 off of 11 dribbles. I mean, that dude, hey, bro, Klay Thompson. I'm ready for him back in the league. Just get healthy, please. It's beautiful to watch.
Bro, I don't think there's anyone who has a hotter hand when they're hot than Klay Thompson in NBA history.
And I would say he's not the best. Obviously, Steph's the best shooter of all time, right? You know what I mean? But like, when if you're drawing out, I consistently say this: you drawing out, like if you're creating a diagram of what a jumper should look like, how somebody should shoot, it's Klay Thompson.
Yeah,
Klay Thompson has the most fundamentally sound jumper I've ever seen. It is perfect. It is literally a perfect jumper. Yeah. And not only that, he catches it and puts it right in his pocket and lets that. The release is so quick. It's not, he is absolutely abnormal. He's an anomaly. He's special.
Klay is one of those players where he capitalizes off of, you know, how defenses are honing in on Steph, and he's not someone who you scheme as the first option, but he's someone who, when he has that hot hand, you throw all that shit out the window and it's time to just feed Klay, bro. That's who Klay is.
And from anywhere, it's money. I mean, I'm watching that quarter and I got chills. I'm like, how can a human be this good on that level? He is a freak. It's crazy.
Jenkins and Jones is proud to be presented by FanDuel. Never played FanDuel Fantasy before? Great! Exclamation point. FanDuel is offering up to a $500 bonus instantly when you make your first deposit with our 20% deposit match. Why do you play on FanDuel? FanDuel Fantasy is an easy app to use. That's why I use it. I like that you can pick a new team every game. And I like competing for cash payouts because cash payouts are fun. FanDuel is offering new users a deposit match of up to $500 when you make your first deposit. Go to FanDuel.com/cowherd for more info. FanDuel.com/coward. FanDuel, more ways to win. Speaking of crazy, unbelievable, GOAT level shit, we watched Serena and the young GOAT earlier, right before we started recording. I am fully a, like, it's Naomi Osaka's time stan. I know John disagreed with me.
The ancestors will not let me give up on Serena yet. It feels illegal to root for Serena right now, okay?
Listen, bro.
Naomi. I love her so much. I need Serena to get that one more. You know what I mean?
Bro. I tweeted out a tweet way back in like 2013 that, you know, during a Sunday when Serena was playing, I said, Serena's playing if you're black, call your mama and tell her. And I got so many retweets off like, yo, I do this all the time. Like Serena means that much to black people, bro. Like it's like even tonight, like after, you know, Naomi bounced Serena, and shouts Naomi. I love Naomi.
She's so like, good. She's incredible. So good.
Incredible. And I call my mom up and I like, you know, hit her up because my mom wants me to call her every time some big shit goes down in Serena's career. Right. So I called her and, you know, we had that conversation after that. But yeah, it might be the passing of the torch. I want Naomi to be as great as she is, but I'm not sure she'll ever be as great as Serena. Serena was, she's a one-on-one, dog.
I mean, she's a GOAT.
I don't even think that's the question.
Yeah, she's the GOAT.
You know, yeah. I mean, that's not the question. I mean, she might be the GOAT of GOATs. You know what I mean? Right. Like, that's how good Serena is. So, like, she might be the best athlete I've ever seen. You know what I'm saying? Like, but regardless of that, it's just for the culture. It feels extremely illegal to root against Serena. And that's the thing. Like, I feel bad for not rooting for Naomi because I really, really like Naomi. As soon as Serena retires, I'm a flag waving member, you know what I'm saying? Card carrying member of Naomi's fan club. You feel me? But until then, it feels illegal. Like I'm breaking laws. I'm bound spiritually to Serena's success. You know what I mean? So
I feel you.
Not there yet. But I mean, dude,
I wish
we didn't have to be so divided on Black History Month.
I did. You know what I mean? Right. I wish they'd been on opposite sides of the draw. You know what I mean?
Oh, no doubt. But I mean, even if they were, you know, we would probably see them in the finals, and it would still be heartbreaking.
Naomi
was dominant. She was dominant.
There were a couple of stretches there where she put it down. She just like put the pedal to the metal on the serves. You were just like, oh, there's that generational gap, bro.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Even against the GOAT. You know what I mean?
Even against the GOAT.
But I do. I mean, the margins of error are so thin on tennis. I thought it was crazy. Like I saw people all over Twitter talking about like, oh, it's the passing of the torch, et cetera, et cetera. It's like Serena's still in the semis of a Grand Slam right now.
She's still ninth in the world.
You know what I mean? Like,
world on the planet.
Yeah, she didn't lose in the round of 64.
This
you know
is
what I'm saying? Like
Jordan with the Wizards, okay? She's top 10 on the planet. Stop it. She has time.
So we'll see. I'll be interested to see how that plays out. I want to talk about the craziest contract that I've ever seen, bro. John doesn't give a fuck about
it. I played 10 years of baseball, dude. I played it.
You make a quarter of $1 billion while you were playing for 10 years?
No, I was the first draft pick in Little League, though, a number of times, you know what I mean? And I played traveler team and shit. I played the game, you know what I mean? It's just like, dog. We talk about like people loving him, you know what I mean? And diversifying the league and all that, whatever.
So what we're talking about is Tatis today signed a 12-year, $340 million contract.
It's too expensive to play for this to be what diversifies the league. You know what I mean? Like when Ozzie Smith was like funding, you know, Fields and like the hood in St. Louis and all that. I mean, that's because the stuff's going to help. But like, The game's too expensive, like bats, helmets, cleats, gloves, all that stuff. With basketball, all you need is a hoop. It's out everywhere, and you need a basketball. You know what I mean? The game is expensive to play. Especially at a competitive level.
I don't disagree with you, and I've written quite a bit about Major League Baseball's failure to take care of black athletes and the fact that Major League Baseball turned its back on the black community is a big part of why they've had the problems they've had with an aging fan base, etc. But I mean, I know Tatis comes from a major league lineage, but like they don't have a lot of money in the Dominican either. You know what I'm saying?
But
bro?
They like, have baseball fields like we have basketball courts here. You know what I mean? Like you play baseball in the Dominican.
Right, for sure. You know but I'm just saying it's like
in the DR you play baseball.
It's one of the things I like about Tatis's story is, I mean, first of all, he's cool. And I don't know the last time I saw a baseball player who, not that I thought was cool or that we thought was cool, but that high school kids thought was cool.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
He's a baseball player, doesn't look a baseball player.
Right. I've seen more kids on Instagram talking about MLB The Show since they said they're putting Tatis on the cover at 22 years old. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Then it's just, he just feels like a different story. But
So if I can stop you there, what is Tatis's story? Like, is he from PR, DR, whatever? Like,
yeah, he's from the Dominican. The story is just like, I would say his comparison outside of baseball would probably be like a Pat Mahomes. He also comes from, like, his dad was a major leaguer. Mm-hmm. So he has a history, but he's just doing stuff at 22. I think I sent you guys a clip where, you know, he's playing infield. He's in the interior and he had a throw to first base on a double play that the ball went like 101 miles an hour or something. And he's not on a mound. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's not on a mound in stride. Like, he stepped on second. And I sent you guys this clip.
So he stepped. He stepped on the bag.
I want to say he threw it 98, 99 miles
he
an hour.
He jumped in the air and shot that motherfucker out of a cannon.
Stepped on second. Bap. Like, so the first baseman was like, moved back by catching the ball, right? You know, just every time I'm watching the Dodgers go up against
Casey.
I'm watching the Dodgers go up against him, and Shar and I are laughing every time they're playing the Padres because you're just like, does this motherfucker bat six times in this lineup? Like, he's always up and he's always going yard.
I would hate to be that first baseman.
Oh man, black
catching
and blue.
That heat,
black and blue, but he's different. I mean,
from like 30
power,
feet away at that,
right?
Yeah. So, no, he's an insane talent, which is why I've never seen a contract like this. We talk about how crazy Mahomes' contract was and some of these other deals, but this dude at $340 million on a 14-year deal, to put that in perspective, LeBron James is the only NBA player in history with more than $340 million in career earnings.
That's crazy.
He's 22. He's 22. Like, he hasn't won an MVP. Like, you can just see this stuff in front of him. But it's crazy to get that kind of money.
In the MLB, has he?
This will be his third season. Yeah, yeah. Okay. So that's some crazy shit. And I did see some people in my orbit passing that around where they've got kids playing basketball and baseball going, We might want to switch things up down here.
Baseball and basketball is, you can be somewhat human and still be a professional baseball player. You have to be an alien to be a professional basketball
player. Like, if you bumped into, we talked about this before, if you bumped into Mookie Betts at Whole Foods and you'd never watched any baseball, you would not think that man was worth, you know, you would not think that's $250 million of athletic talent.
You might have bumped into Mookie Betts and not know you bumped into Mookie Betts.
Right. And you ain't going to just bump it to a Giannis and not know who the fuck.
But not even Giannis. If you see favors at Trader Joe's, you know that man plays in the league. You know what I mean? But there are, you know, like, you know, incredible, like the best baseball player of all time, potentially. If I walk by him, I wouldn't know, you know.
You're talking about Mike Trout?
I wouldn't know Mike Trout.
Right.
You know what I mean? I might have seen Mike Trout at Top Golf. I might have seen him. I might have seen him on the course, actually. I wouldn't know, though.
And you're in Southern California, too. You might have.
I might have seen him playing Harding. You know what I mean?
Bro, listen. Mike Trout could break into my house right now, and I would hold that motherfucker at gunpoint until the cops came. Like, I have no idea what the fuck Mike Trout looks like.
Right. I've seen Mike Trout so many times, and I still don't know what he looks like, dog.
Like, yeah.
You know what I mean? Crazy.
Tatis is one of those dudes that you would see him. I'm going to hold this up to the camera so you can see. He's one of those dudes, he looks like a famous athlete.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. He's got the difference about him. Dreads. Him and Aaron Judge look like they should be famous athletes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Those are the two baseball players.
And Tatis is 6'3", 220. You know, so he's...
That's a human. I mean, that's a big human, but...
You're stretching
the... human than basketball players are human. You know what I mean?
He's Steph... Yeah. Like, he looks like the biggest baseball player in the world, and he's basically Steph Curry. Yeah.
who everybody loved because they were tiny. Because
he was diminutive, right?
Right. You know, he's a little guy. We can't, you know what I mean? Come on, man.
I just got a text from our producer, Brittany, that Steph just had a dagger in overtime to put the Warriors up over the Heat. With the shimmy.
I was going to watch that. I was watching that game until I saw that Serena and them were playing. But I was like, I just didn't want to miss Steph playing. You're not helping. If you like basketball, you want to watch Steph play, especially now. Yeah, it's going crazy.
Of course,
for sure. You know what I mean?
Okay, we got a couple other topics before we wrap up. Tyler had I love this tweet about the new Cruella de Vil movie. I just wanted to chime in and give him some space because, yes, why do movie companies think that humanizing evil people is like the wave? Where is that coming from, bro?
Bro, like, listen, man, I am all for new spins on you know, fucking commonly held, like, fucking stories that have infiltrated the American zeitgeist, whatever the fuck you want to call it, American culture, right? And 101 Dalmatians, yes, and 101 Dalmatians is absolutely a story that is, you know, infiltrated American culture. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows what the fuck 101 Dalmatians is about. Mm-hmm. But you cannot, like, the whole, you cannot humanize and try to play the whole, oh, she's just a misunderstood anti-hero. I guess a motherfucker who wanted to skin 199 puppies and the two parents, because that's the 101 there. Who
at that skin point, we can say, fuck the other side. You know what right. I mean?
And two parents.
You know what I mean? No. That's the point. When you're trying to skin 101 dogs and
two yeah. parents. Can we, bro, yeah, bro, is that
at that point, we can say, fuck the what line. They went through. That's an evil ass motherfucker right there.
Is
you
that
know
where
I mean?
We can draw the line? Can we draw the line, please, at a motherfucker who's down to murder, mass murder 100 puppies? Like, can we please draw the line?
Right.
And I'm someone who thoroughly enjoys the retelling of stories from other perspectives. And I honestly feel like the moment that started this was Wicked back like 15 years ago. When we saw Oz through the perspective of, you know, the Wicked Witch of the West. And I felt her on that. I was like, yeah, this motherfucker just popped up, dropped her house on your homie, and you're like, fuck this lady.
And she's supposed to be sweet after that? Of course it ain't. Of course it ain't sweet after that. You know what I mean?
Right, I get that. We cannot say that a woman... Yeah, we cannot say that a woman who wanted to kill 99 puppies is worthy of hearing her side out. No,
you want to court in the streets of Oz.
Yeah. Yeah. I just don't understand. I mean, I do get that it's like we just live in an intellectual property world, right? So they're like, we can't just remake 101 Dalmatians. Let's retell it from Cruella's perspective or whatever. I understand the business behind it, but what I don't get about, they did a Grinch movie like this too, that was like, here's the childhood that the Grinch had, and like, this is why he's so grumpy or whatever.
And that like, worked for the Grinch. So many, myself included, like, sympathized with the Grinch after that. Because fuck
those yeah. people. But fuck like, on the whole, do we not agree as a society that, like, you know, it's like, it's the Heath Ledger Joker. They're like the coolest villains are the ones where it's like, oh, they're just crazy. You know, or like Hannibal Lecter is the same thing, right? It's like, mm-hmm. yeah, and so I don't understand. It's like, why do I need to know that like a dog bit her and that's why she wants to skin the puppies or, you know, so like why she can't just be like the bad guy? I don't know.
Right. Motherfuckers really don't want to enjoy characters who they feel are just horrible. And I am not one of those people.
No, like, Hannibal was horrible.
I love so many terrible characters.
Love Hannibal Lecter.
Well, that's the thing. I think those are the most popular villains. Those have always been the most popular villains. Yeah, but the people making movies think people don't want to enjoy.
No. Yeah, I'll be honest. A lot of times in movies, I'm not rooting for the guy you think I'm rooting for. Or maybe I'm supposed to be. You know what I mean?
Somebody's trying anyone to get away. Is anyone rooting for the teenagers to kill Jason? You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't put the teenagers in the name of the movie, exactly. Not the teenagers.
Right.
It's not the teenagers,
I've
part
never
eight.
I thought about the teenagers. You know what I'm saying? Give me that gore, you feel me? The hills have eyes. I want all of that. You know what I mean? I don't root for the weirdo that does some dumbass shit in the middle of nowhere. They earned that.
But yeah, I think it might be lazy writing if you want to make your villain someone who appeals to people. Because, like, I don't even want to talk about the show that we all decided didn't exist.
I knew this was on the front of your brain.
Don't go there. Don't go there. We deserve better than this. It's still the middle of the week, man.
I will say I loved Cersei, and I never once tried to paint her as virtuous or misunderstood. I loved how devoted she was to being terrible. I loved that about her. I loved how she didn't give up.
Cersei.
He did. He
was a Cersei stan, dog.
I was a Cersei stan, dude.
He was a Cersei stan, dog.
And I never
tried. She died in fucking rubble. She pissed me off. I'm like, Cersei. Fucking
Cersei.
All this crazy shit. And she dies with her incestuous brother in fucking rubble? Dude, she deserves better than that. She deserves better than to die by fucking rocks.
She died. She died on a construction site accident. And that shit hurt me. Because I thought she was seriously.
She forgot her orange hat then.
Yeah, she forgot her hard
didn't
hat.
Didn't make it home. You know what I mean? Bro, Cersei? All the shit she did, and you give us that? Bro, let her get her head knocked off by some, you know what I mean? Like, she deserves to go out in that way. You know what I mean? That season was, let's move on.
All right, before we completely run out of energy, we were going to debut a new segment tonight, but we're going to put it off because...
Don't, let's not talk about that either. Let's wait for that too. I think we can save that one. Hey, yo. We're going to have a pizza conversation on Sunday, guys. It's dropping Monday.
John has some stupid shit to say about pizza, and you're going to have to tune in.
Mike's Italian ass is going to have to wait. Don't pop from stress.
I'm going to be walking mad for 3 days until we can record this next episode.
Eating meatballs and shit.
Okay.
And sausages. As a teaser, mad as hell.
This Monday.
Straight in my lineage.
On Monday, come back. We will have... Tyler and I tearing John limb from limb.
I've been here. This is what
I'm with Mike on this.
Y'all arguing is weird to me. Me arguing y'all is normal to me.
We'll talk about WandaVision. We'll talk about basketball. We'll talk about anything else that comes up that we don't find boring. So come back for Jenkins and Jones Monday on the Volume Podcast Network.
Peace.